Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Earl Conlon. I'm sitting in for the mouth leap here today on this here Last Voice for Liberty. Tonight I'm going to be kind of faking it, so I'm going to kind of do like when you don't know the words to a song, like Sweet Emotion, you know, how you kind of fake it. That's about the best I can do tonight. Anyway, I do not know where to find Lee's intro, so I'll just make my own. Here we go. There we go. Good enough. Anyhow, hello and welcome to The Last Voice for Liberty. Mr. Lee Pierre is out on personal business, attending a memorial for one of his family members, and he asked me to sit in. So tonight we're just going to have an open forum. We'll talk about anything that you want to talk about, and if you got any friends, bring them along, and we'll talk about whatever they want to talk about too. But tonight, I wanted to make sure that everybody out there knows that what happened out there in D.C. during the 9/11 biker rally. The bikers showed up in mass numbers, not as big as they were last year, but there was quite a few there. And even though we didn't have as many as last year, we did have a lot, and, well, our wonderful government decided that they were going to play some games with us. And what they did was that Belinda B., she got permits to park those vehicles, those bikes, out there in a certain part of the mall. Well, once they got parked, then the cops started coming around and giving people tickets. And they started threatening arrest to the people like Belinda B. and all them that organized the biker rally. They threatened to start towing bikes. Well, what they got was a lot of bikers said, screw this, and they started leaving. Well, just a little bit before they all started leaving, well, then the captain shows up and starts taking the tickets away from the bikes. You know, to make themselves look like what nice guys they are and how they care and all that crap. But it was all a setup, because as soon as the bikers started leaving and the crowd dispersed, then the news helicopter showed up. What do you know? Anyway, we're also going to have Gail Patricia Whitright come on, and she's going to give us some information about Proposition USA and a few other items I believe she wants to talk about tonight. And, well, why don't we just go ahead and bring Gail in and let her get started on that. And, hey, Gail.
Hi.
Hey, Gail, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I'm good, honey. How are you? Yeah, well, you're online with me and Matthew tonight.
Good evening, Gail.
Hi, Matthew. As you know, I'm a Connecticut teacher and the founder of PropositionUSA.com. The goal is to bring our country back by one American helping another American. And but our main focus is veterans, which is crucial because there are, on any given night, there's 200,000 homeless veterans, and every single day, every 55 minutes, a veteran commits suicide, and they are also dying from lack of care. And what we want people to do, the main thing, is to set up a database in every single town so the veterans can call in and whatever they need, and we can fulfill them. We have to help our veterans. And I'm following Montel Williams on Twitter, and he's following me, and since we're both interested in it. And there's a picture of him. I think he's in New York City, and he's talking to a woman who's a veteran, and she's homeless, and she's got a sign. And that as well as other things, just keeps motivating me. So if there's any veterans groups out there or patriot groups, anybody at all, like in Connecticut, there's 169 towns. If we could just get one veteran on every town green at 5 o'clock, the goal is to simply wave the flag at 5 o'clock for a half an hour, for 10 minutes, whatever you can do, so the media finally picks this up. I've had some success. You know, I have plenty of Facebook friends and things like that, but I've had some success. But the whole thing of it is the media. You know what the media is like as far as, you know, following things such as this. But that's just, I have a website. It's called propositionusa.com. You can contact me through there. And we have to do something. We have to work together. And I think the biggest enemy of our country right now is Americans that just are apathetic and they just don't want to get involved and they're in their own little world. But it's going to affect them, and things that I've been talking about for years are now on Fox News every single night. And our poor country, we're $17 trillion in debt. Every single month, 40 small businesses who are the backbone of the country go bankrupt. So if everybody helps one other American, I know we could bring our country back. So please,
yeah, let me ask some questions if you don't mind.
Sure.
You've got your Proposition USA website, but is there a way that you can build this database through Facebook?
Yes, it's on Facebook, and I have an event, and people are signing up for it. And I have almost 1,500 friends on Facebook, so...
yeah, but what I mean by using Facebook, like, for example, when the bikers... were on their way to D.C. for 9/11. They didn't have it all just in one site. They had a whole bunch of sites for every state, and each one of those sites kind of checked in with the main site, the 2 million bikers to D.C. site. So they coordinated that way, so each one did individually but checked in with the one major site. Couldn't we do something like that with Proposition USA, where each state or town can make a Facebook page and check in with Proposition USA?
Yes, I've seen that with other activities and, you know, for like overpasses and things like that. I mean, that would entail getting 50 people to coordinate, just to see what each state is doing. I can see that, Earl. The thing of it is, I mean, all I'm asking people to do at 5 o'clock is Main Street, your street, and overpass. I mean, even if you walk to the end of your driveway, I mean, you could be with 50 people or by yourself. You know what I mean? I know what you mean about seeing what's in each state. I understand what you're saying there, but I try to keep it as simple as possible. You know?
Yeah, I get that. But I just figured if it worked for the bikers, and last year during the trucking rally, it worked for them too, where they did their own thing in each state, but, you know, they would check in with the major site, you know, the Ride for the Constitution or the 2 million bikers. Well, I figured if let's say Joe Schmo in Oklahoma had a Facebook page where veterans that need help could post on the page saying, hey, I could use the help getting to the grocery store this week. And then somebody that was on that page that was willing to help them would say, yeah, okay, Joe, I'll come help you out. Something like that, you know?
Well, that's why I would love for there to be a database in every single town. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate, but, I mean, in every single town, they can just call in and state what they need, and that, you know, somebody could just refresh it every 24 hours where the veterans can call in and state what they need, and people can fulfill those.
Well, David Miller, the host for Revere Riders, he's trying to do exactly just that with Facebook to help his mother, which lives in Missouri, and she's a vet in a wheelchair. And he's on Facebook asking folks that if they can help her out to get
right.
moved. So I'm thinking, well, if that works for him or other people, maybe that might work for you too. You know what I mean?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I appreciate your support, Earl, and all that you've done for me. And like I said, when I think of that gal in New York City that seemed, I mean, you know, obviously men veterans too. I mean, that's what I've been rooting for and for all these years. But that woman, I mean, just because she looked like maybe a girl I went to high school with or something. So that really kind of got to me and kept me going. So you were talking last night, Earl, about the border.
Yeah.
And I just have a few things to share about the border.
Alrighty.
Okay. You know, if people think, obviously, that it's just, you know, orphans coming in, they must live in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood because the situation is horrendous, absolutely horrendous. And I think as Americans, we can stop it. One of the things we can demand is enforce the rules that are already on board. There's already laws and rules out there, and to demand that E-Verify is used. And we can also talk to American businesses and be sure that they hire Americans. For every 100 illegals that takes a job, 65 Americans are without a job.
Yeah, you know, we wouldn't have that illegal alien problem. The only reason they first came over here was because they smelt in the open market. They saw jobs for the taking. And the only reason those jobs were there for the taking is because the whiny crybaby liberals made these minor labor laws where back when you and I were kids, it was teenagers that worked those lands. They can't do it nowadays because of the labor laws.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's also a long tradition of migrant workers coming in for the purpose of doing a specific job and harvesting a particular crop. That being said, yes, there are on the books existing immigration laws which are being totally thrown out the door because the federal government has decided that they want to let all the families of legal immigrants come on through the border so that they get those Latin American votes in the next election.
Right, and the majority of them don't work the fields. The majority of them don't. And there's also another fallacy of so-called jobs that Americans don't want. The majority of those jobs are held by Americans. I think people should be aware, too, of the crime. Every single day, 25 Americans are murdered, 12 or 13 through drunk drivers, and the others are murdered. And every day, 8 American children are assaulted. There's been over 1 million assaults on Americans. And, you know, our country cannot be the economic 911 of the world. There are 7 billion people in the world, and it would be more advantageous to have agents of change throughout the world to emulate our system, the free enterprise system, the system that's made our country the richest country in the history of the world. And in Mexico, 12% of the people are wealthy, and I don't mean just wealthy, they're billionaires, 12%, and another 30% are middle class. So that's almost half the population. And just like Proposition USA, you know, I think each country should do their own thing where they help their own people.
Mm-hmm. Dale, how long have you been a school teacher?
About 150 years, Earl. No, just 25. It does seem like 150 years.
Still a spring chicken, aren't you, honey? Anyway,
that's right.
The reason I asked that question is because I was wondering how many Latino people have you seen. Let me rephrase the question. From when you first started teaching school till the present, have you seen an increase in Latino students in that time?
Well, I haven't taught for about 5 years, so I think the majority of them have been coming in, you know, in the last 20 years or so. But the areas that I was with, I did not see like a rapid increase. But it wouldn't be in the area that I was in. You know what else, too, about illegals, too? There's 4 million people throughout the world, Poland and Colombia and England or wherever, and they are waiting to come to our country legally. They filled out the forms, and they're doing it legally. And I've been to some of these ceremonies because I'm was a member of the Daughters of the American Revolution. They're wonderful people. They're proud to be an American, and they're playing by the rules. But now they're still waiting. Some of them, the 4 million, are still waiting to come here, and the 20 million illegals walked right in front of them.
Right.
Right, and most of the other developed nations that, like Northern Europe, several Scandinavian countries, Australia, in order to legally emigrate to their country, you have to show that you have a viable talent or resource that will contribute to the economy and to the population in general. We're the only ones who seem to not employ such a reason on a broad scale, or at least across the board, regardless of where people are coming from, to prove that, yes, if you come here, you're not going to be a drag on the economy, you're going to be a contributor to it.
Right. I have a friend, you're exactly right, because I have a friend from Austria, and we laughed because, you know, when she came here maybe 50 years ago, that you know, they asked her, you know, whether she was going to be a dredge on society or whatever the word was, and you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Right.
So many people, you know, come in on education visas, their student visas, to get an education from what may have once upon a time been some of the leading schools in the world, and then end up overstaying their student visa and disappearing into the country from that avenue as
right.
well.
There's also 400,000 have committed crime and were deported and are still at large. It's almost 500,000 that are at large right now. The crime statistics are incredible.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm appalled about all this crap that they're trying to make people believe that it's a bunch of poor, innocent little children coming across the border, and we need to help them. But that's not the truth, man. There's grown adults, there's Muslim people, there's gang members and children. It's like, okay, well, what are they trying to do? And I know it's got more to do with just trying to bring voters in. There's more to it than just that.
Right. Well, there's get the if we start being seen to treat the children badly by not, you know, I mean, if we don't feed and give shelter to these poor children, then that's going to foment more of the world's opinion against that terrible nation, the U.S., that is trying to impose its democratic values on every country throughout the world. And from
that's wrong. That's wrong, because those children, I don't care whether it's here or there, they belong with their parents.
I'm just saying that that's what the underlying, most likely the underlying reason is to get more anti-U.S. sentiment developed through any perception that we're mistreating these poor children who have tried to come here to seek a better life. Theoretically, you know, that's what the media is putting out or trying to, and I'm sure that's what the world is hearing, and that's what the UN is going to be called to act on.
Yeah, well, you know, they're not our responsibility, and they should not be here. And we should be focusing on the children of Detroit and Newark, and let's help those children.
Yeah, we've got to take care of our own table first.
There's already plenty of poverty here that we have seemed unable to deal with since Johnson initiated the war on poverty during his administration in the 60s. You know, we declare war on something and all it does is exacerbate the problem.
If all our citizens were working and nobody was on welfare and nobody needed any assistance in any way, yeah, sure, we can help other people. No problem. But right now, the way it is, we got to take care of our own first, and we've got our veterans on the streets, homeless, after serving all this time, being traumatized in war, and they come here to can't even hold a job at a car wash. We've got to do something.
Right. There's 200,000 homeless veterans on any given night. It's just horrendous. I pray every day that I pray for a miracle, because I'm going to still do this through the month of September. And, you know, like I said, if I can get just one major thing to happen, either a whole high school or a town or, you know, one person on each green, so the media will cover it. I want to go national with this thing. I've been doing this for a long time. I put my heart and soul into it, so I wish you would all pray for me, too, that we can do this.
Yep.
Please go to my website.
And it starts with somebody. It might as well start with you, hon.
Thank you.
Well, let me throw out real quick, too. There's sometimes a tendency for us to go, wait a minute. Why isn't something more happening now? Well, looking at the time frame between the Declaration of Independence and the ratification of the Constitution, or the presentation of the Constitution, and it's about 13 years. And, you know, we're at about that now since 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that it can be disheartening to not see a lot of action happening. You get frustrated at trying to get this word out and spread around, and especially in this modern information age when thoughts and ideas and realities are expressed almost instantaneously. But it does take time to build consensus and momentum and activism toward the goal.
Right. Well, Matthew has an echo. I don't know if you can hear it. Can you hear his echo?
Yeah, he hears. We're echoing because we're in the same room.
Yeah, you're probably picking me up through Earl's headpiece, too. We're both on.
You're hearing me on his headphone and mine. that's why I always either go outside or another room when I got somebody else in the house that's on the show with me, because we tend to echo,
and it could be a really cool effect if we were trying to do it on purpose.
Start singing Slow Ride.
Take it easy.
Okay. Yeah.
So, well, tell us more about the rally. The rally was good, huh?
Just say that again, huh?
The rally was good.
Oh, yeah, it was. And it was quite amazing, actually. I was overwhelmed with American pride, let me tell you.
I know.
It did my soul good to see that.
That's what keeps me going, because down deep inside, you know, we're Americans, and I know everybody's so ready to do something positive. I would have loved to have met Denise D'Souza. I can never say his name either. But you've got to go see
Yeah, I have a
America.
Tough name, tough time with that name.
Me too.
Yeah, I got him on video, and I will be posting it pretty soon.
Right. I went to see the movie.
Sorry, go ahead, Gail.
I went to see his, first of all, I saw his movie, America 2016, What Will Happen If Obama Gets Back In. And it's very historical, and it really tells it like it is. The guy, you know, a lot of people that come from different countries, they come to our country and they look at it in a different perspective. And it's really cool the way he looks at America. And he's a lot of immigrants. He really appreciates our country. And then I went to see the movie America, and it really dispels a lot of myths. And, you know, it was so interesting, like the American Revolution, which my ancestors fought in. And it's just, you've got to go see that movie America.
I haven't gotten to see it myself, but did you see the movie God Is Not Dead?
No, but somebody else mentioned that.
Oh, man, that was a good movie. I really enjoyed that movie.
What was it about?
It was about a professor that was really bent on the idea of having all his students agree that God does not exist, God is dead. Well, this one student challenged him.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And they challenged each other. Well, the student that challenged him not only proved that God was there, he made the professor confess why he was so down on God. And I'll just tell you that much. I don't want to give it away. It's really worth going to watch.
Yeah, don't give all the spoilers. Yeah. Speaking of spoilers, I just became aware that Nicolas Cage is going to be starring in a remake already of The Left Behind. Well, at least the first one I saw today for the first time on the History Channel of all places, promo for Left Behind starring Nicolas Cage. Now, it seems to me that when they put that movie out under Christian Productions companies, that there wasn't a whole lot of warmth and welcome to it by the Hollywood elite. Will be interesting to see where a Hollywood elite who has promoted some of the secret society type stuff, if you're into that, how he's going to portray it, and whether or not the same degree of the message of Christ will be carried in this movie when it does get released on 10/3 of all dates.
Yeah, I'm interested in seeing the movie myself, because Nicolas Cage is a good actor, though.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily want to throw money his way by running out and catch it in the theater when it opens, but yeah, that's a different issue.
Yeah.
And also,
anyway.
At the rally, there was Madison Rising. I would have loved to have seen them, too.
Yeah, well, you will when I get this video up. I have it.
Yeah, that's
and
great. I had his song on my in my car when I was in the parade, for three different parades this summer in Weathersfield and Cromwell and Middletown, Connecticut, for Proposition USA, and I still have it in there. And sometimes when I want to get pumped, I listen to it. They're a great band. They're really doing well, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They were just as good live as I heard them in their recording. I was impressed. And like I said, I got them singing on video. So and I also got permission from the lead singer to use his music on my show. So
that's great.
Yay.
Somewhere down the road, I have his business card in my wallet. I may actually have the lead singer of Madison Rising on my show.
That's great.
Awesome, man. Now, in regards to Earl's footage of the 9/11 bike and truck run to D.C. this year, Earl's efforts to film the whole event seem to be the only outlet of the event even happening. I mean, I've been trying to find other sources, other mentions of it, or certainly other footage, and when I look up other news sources, they're all mentioning they refer to last year's. There is a story about, and Earl has caught some of this on his footage, about the leader of the bike run, B.
Belinda B.
Being faced with having their permit or their parking decisions be ticketed. But there's really, really very little that I'm seeing in the way of news stories or coverage on what went on this year. And I find it disheartening that all of the news coverage was all of the official events that occurred in New York City and at the Pentagon, basically depicting party lines and prominent, quote-unquote, statesmen doing their political presentations, and none of the reality of patriots and everyday people showing up to show support and commemoration of what did happen on that day.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about what the administration wants you to see about it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, speaking of the 9/11 rally, Gail, this latest video that I put up, Trucking Around the Block, Part 3, you're in it.
I am?
You are in that footage, yes, ma'am.
And how would that happen, Earl?
I'm the video photographer. I can do what I want.
Oh, geez.
You're like a commercial in it. That's what's going on.
Oh, that's good. So some of the people were interested in Proposition USA. I really appreciate that.
Well, I'm just hoping that putting your little Proposition USA commercials at the end of these videos helps get you a little support, because that's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah, I saw 1 in 5, and then my computer kind of pooped out. I couldn't see the other ones. So I'll have to look at them all. So there's a little commercial at the end of each one?
No, not every one, just a few every now and then. I don't want people to get mad at me for doing too much commercialism, you know what I mean?
Okay. All right.
You and Charles Dyer's situation, I've been trying to get people aware of both your situation and Charles Dyer's so that maybe these folks could get some support out here to you guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's great. It's all appreciated.
I know you do. I know you do. That's why I do it, Gail, because I know you appreciate it.
I do. I appreciate it.
You're a little frothy sometimes, but you're all right. I got you.
I can't help it. I'm an old maid school teacher. I'm part of my...
yeah, I got you.
it's not so much that she's bossy, she's vehement and fervent in her zeal for the American.
No. You don't talk to Gail enough to know. This girl is bossy. She likes things the way she likes them, damn it.
I appreciate everything you've done, Earl.
And I don't hear her denying it.
I'm not bossy. I've been supportive of you, Earl, too.
You're all right, girlfriend.
Who would ever believe?
Anyway,
we'd be patriot friends forever.
Yeah,
nice.
That's the way to do it, ain't it?
It's nice to have friends that feel the same way, that have the same passion as you do. That's what I have, is passion.
Yeah, well, you have passion to help the veterans, and I agree with that 100%. And I have passion to restore our Constitution and freedom back to this country the way it's supposed to be.
Definitely.
I'm going to switch seats with Matthew, let him stay inside, and I'm going to go outside this time so that's where I can smoke a cigarette. Anyway. Matthew, you got the helm.
I have not. I dispute that with every fiber of my being.
Yeah.
You don't let Earl fool you. He's still there, yeah.
I'm still here, but I'm Earl knows this is past my bedtime. I got a few more minutes.
Yeah, she's starting to turn into a pumpkin.
I do.
Well, young lady, you know, rest is needed.
Definitely. No, I can do a few more minutes and I'm going to crash.
All righty, girlfriend. Well, listen, you know, I got a question for you. When you was school teaching, did you teach things like the Declaration, Independence, Constitution, anything like that?
Yes, I taught American history, and I loved it.
Do you remember most of the stuff that you taught?
Basically, yes, and I read the Constitution a little bit every night, especially the amendments.
Well, maybe you can tell me why is it that I could get online, look at this video of this guy interviewing college students majoring in political science, and yet they can't even name a senator or a congressman. Why is that?
Don't know, Earl.
No, that's not Constitution. That's current events, man.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And
but
as
still,
far as most modern students
going to school to be a political science and all that stuff, they should know something about the political arena and who's playing.
Yeah, they should. I know. It's just like on the guy on Waters World, Bill O'Reilly, he goes around and asks questions too.
Oh yeah, I've caught him a time or two. I don't watch O'Reilly as much as I used to, but
what's that guy's name? Jim Waters or something?
Yeah, Waters.
Right, and he comes. It was really disgusting. I'm sorry, I hate to put it that. That's probably nice compared to the way some people might. That he's out there with college students who don't know anything.
Yeah, I know. I know. So,
I don't have.
I
barely got a high school education.
Mhm.
And I don't know anything.
Well, I'm worse shape than he is. I didn't finish the ninth grade.
Well,
my situation was go to school and starve or get out there and work and eat.
Mm-hmm.
So, it has something to do with, you know, I saw a thing earlier, you know, all right, what's wrong with our schools? Let me see, because school districts are... They have to have put something out for it, but I saw that the San Diego School District, the Unified School District, acquired an MRAP vehicle. Why does a school district need an armored personnel carrier? I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Well, that's where I went to San Diego State. That's where I did my student teaching, so I'll have to find out about that one. I know a lot of the local police are getting these incredible...
that's police. We're talking about a school district.
Right. I heard you.
Hold on.
He gets
check
his
it out.
Don't you worry about him.
No, I'm not sure if it's on Breitbart News or WND. I saw the article earlier. Hold on. And I'm just like, okay, why does a school district need an MRAP?
Yeah, well, I wonder why they can afford an MRAP, but they can't afford to help our veterans.
Well, because there aren't veterans going, well, theoretically, veterans going to high school.
I don't know, man. Somebody with that kind of training and education would be very valuable to society. Anyway, Matthew, I think our guest is about to call, turn into Cinderella pumpkin and fall asleep on us.
I'm sorry.
Maybe we're boring her to death. What do you think? Nah, it's just past her bedtime.
No, I'm just. I know. Once I'm tired, I'm like a little kid.
Yeah, I got you. Well, then we'll say goodnight to you, Gail, and me and Matthew here. We're going to move the topic to something a little bit more controversial. I think we're going to start talking about religion. What do you think of that idea?
Sounds good to me. Thank you all very much, and thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Gail. You have a good night. Sleep well.
Keep
fighting. Thanks, Gail.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Keep trying,
thank
girlfriend.
Thank you very much.
And I'm waving a hand hello to Rosalind Bess in the chat room and guest number 3952. If you want to get online, just call the number and press 1. That number would be 347-855-8301. Anyway, Matthew, I got a question for you. I know you know a lot about how I feel and think when it comes to religion. And you know that I believe that Obama is the Antichrist. What about you? What do you think?
I'm going to pause here because I hesitate from presuming to have a sufficient grasp of prophetic passages to say that I know beyond any doubt in my own mind or in that a particular person is the Antichrist, because even the apostles who walked with Jesus and Paul later wrote that many antichrists have already come or are already here in their time in the first century. So antichrist can be a generalization. I understand that you're talking about the beast of Revelation or one of the beasts of Revelation. And it's possible. I can't say for certain one way or another because
let me give you just a few ideas of why I believe this. First of all, he comes to this country unknown. Nobody knew who the hell he was before he was Senator Obama, and he wasn't even a senator very long. He come out of nowhere, just like the Bible said the Antichrist would do. He immediately started blaspheming God. He in the time frame, he he shows up just before the Ark of the Covenant is found, like the Bible prophecy said. He has no regards for women, which is clear. He's gay as a $3 bill. He is identical to the Egyptian pharaoh. I'm trying to remember how to pronounce the name of this guy. He even got him on video looking at this pharaoh's bust or what do you call it, tomb thing, and he goes, "Hey, he looks just like me," and I'm like, "What?" Anyway, he's no Christian. I guarantee you that. He there's so many things I can't remember. The Bible always said that the preachers and the pastors and the priests have always told us that the Bible said that the mark of the 7-year tribulation would be a peace treaty between Israel and the Antichrist. But the problem is it doesn't say that. It says that he'll make a covenant with many. He did that. Obama did that in 2009 on national TV, made a covenant with many. Anyway,
here's the problem.
I'm the scholar, but every cell in my body tells me he is the person that we're supposed to be aware of. We're dealing with more than just an asshole politician.
Okay, yeah, all right, granted. You shall know the tree. Every tree that bears bad fruit shall be cut down and cast in the fire. You shall know them by their fruits. All right, obviously, he's done some things that don't agree with a lot of the scriptural foundation that Christianity is based on. Now, if I were to speak some of what I believe, and I won't at the moment, I'm just going to make the observations, a lot of people would say, well, you're not of Christ, by which, if that be true, then I would be anti-Christ. Because anybody, if you're not with me, you're against me. Okay, so anybody not with Christ is against him. Now, Scripture tells us that Satan knows the minds of men, and Jesus knows the hearts of men. So for me to say that I know his mind or his heart, I'm putting myself in the place of either Satan or Christ, and I refuse to do that because I am not Christ. And to presume that I know somebody's heart is a dreadful fallacy, a lie. It's an injustice
to men except God,
and it is an injustice to Christ for me to suggest that I know somebody's heart. And hey, I sin. Who doesn't? But for me to say that I know his mind, I also refuse to take on the mantle of being Satan and say that I know what's going through his mind. Now, whether his fruit is good and should be allowed to prosper, or whether it is bad and his trunk ought to be hacked down and cast into the fire, is another matter. And I already said, approaching what efforts are made to turn our government in a better direction needs to be done carefully, because missteps could result in what we don't want to happen, and that's to have the wrong guy end up being in place when or if martial law were nationally declared.
Well, yeah, I agree. But as far as Obama being the Antichrist, I do believe he is, because, first of all, the first beast would be our American government. Did you know that the Washington Monument measures on all four sides of it 666? Did you know
and
that?
Its height is 555 inches, which makes it 111 inches, a very pertinent number to the secret societies. I'm kind of familiar with that stuff.
And did you know that there was a Bible bound in a leather strap in the center of that Washington Monument signifying binding God and his word?
Right. Square binding under satanic ritual. I'm aware.
Okay,
of that.
So here's my thing, though, is that there's so many things that my senile ass cannot remember off the top of my head to speak here on the radio. But what I do know is that from the very, very first time I ever laid eyes on this guy, not even knowing who the hell he was yet, my blood ran cold, the hair stood on the back of my neck, and I knew in my soul that this man is the Antichrist. And here's the other thing that gives me proof. In the book of Revelations, the end days is going to be a new world order under the Antichrist. And our country is in some way or another in every single country in this world. We have some sort of tie to every country. We don't just go around this world passing out money, saying we're the nice guys, we're the good guys. Every time they give out money, there is strings attached. And if we are the enforcers of the New World Order, then that would mean our president is the Antichrist, because whether you accept it or not, the New World Order isn't coming. It's already here. I mean, look at all these other nations all over the country. They have their laws and their police departments and all this stuff set up quite similar to the way ours are, where they didn't do that before we existed. And when America says something, other countries either obey and do what they're told, or America puts the pressure on, blah, 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 you know. It's like, okay, we're not necessarily stuck to talking to religion for you folks in the chat room. If you want to call in and change the subject, it is open forum tonight. It's just that it was just something off the top of my head I decided to dabble into, because Matthew is a walking Bible scholar as far as I'm concerned, because the man knows more scripture in reverse than I know in forward.
And I would dispute that with you. I've studied a lot of things, and I can see a lot of common, from my understanding, a lot of misunderstandings that are common in society. However, again, for the reasons I stated before about knowing minds and hearts, I'm going to refuse saying or pointing the finger that a particular individual is the Antichrist, because every time a prophet or a renowned religious leader has made that statement through history, and this would not be the first time that people have been saying it, for whatever reason, events have fallen in a manner that made them easily ridiculed.
Right, right. Well, you know,
and the,
when
the
Obama
first thing,
listen to this. When Obama was first elected, every time there's a new president, it's been tradition for quite a while now that the first lady of the new president would go and meet with all the wives of the senators and congressmen. Well, the mooch, she went to the meet with these people. She showed up late. And what she said to these women of the senators and the congressmen was that, my husband was born for this position, and I'm not here to socialize with you bitches.
Okay. Being
my,
a bitch doesn't make you the wife
born.
Of any of it. Yeah.
My husband was born for this position. Who the hell talks like that?
I'm sorry. I can't help but asking, in what attitude was she standing when she said it? Or sitting or whatever. There's all kind. I'm taking the off color approach to answering that, but
I can't tell you where she was standing or anything like that. All I know is that she came in like she was all superior, and instead of sitting down and being polite and graceful, she just flat out told him, "My husband was born for this position, and I'm not here to socialize with you bitches." And I'm like, who the hell talks like that? And then there's, like I said, you can tell a tree by its fruit. Well, this guy obviously hates America. He hates colonialism. He hates freedom and liberty. He likes big government. He thinks we're stupid and small-minded. And he wants to control the world. This frickin' dude and his sidekick, Joe Biden, they remind me of the cartoon Pinky and the Brain.
And I won't, that's fine. Here's, everybody wants to be right. And my opinion is that has led to more failures throughout human history.
I see you're going. But
here's the thing, all right? The devil said, and you shall be as gods. And what comes out from the concept of I will be as a god, I'm going to be right in everything I do. Well, we're not.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be right.
Look at nature, Matt. The Bible says that there'll be earthquakes in divers places and famines and pestilence. We've had locust swarms. We've had mayfly swarms. We have dead fish and birds and turtles and sea creatures washing up the shore, water turning to blood, crazy things going on in the sky, strange sounds coming all over the place. And all these things are prophesied in the Bible. So if all this nature stuff is telling us what the Bible says, then obviously the human or Satan side is here too. You can't have all the signs of the book of Revelations for nature and not have the other parts of it too. I'm hearing crickets.
That's because I'm standing outside, and I'm weighing my response before I run off the mouth.
Well, I was hearing dead space. That's what I meant by crickets.
I'm sorry. I apologize to Blog Talk Radio for dead air. Here's the thing. What I do understand is that the Antichrist will become the head of a one-world government. And at this point, Obama's not sitting as the Secretary General of the UN, which is the closest thing we have to a one-world government. Now, the next closest position that I can think of would be the head of the Federal Reserve, because as the wealthiest nation in the country, the one who controls the wealth and by it the ability of nations and the world at large to engage in commerce.
Now, as far as the Federal Reserve is concerned, there is a prophecy in the book of Revelations that talks about four kings without a country. that they're no, there's no allegiance to any country. They don't belong to any country in particular, but they are kings because they rule countries and continents. So we can go into that, but like I said, you know, I can't talk this stuff off the top of my head because I'm no Bible scholar. So memory sucks, and getting old sucks, and as long as the fire down below is still working, I'm okay.
And I can't give you chapter and verse for everything that you're reciting to me or all the concepts that you're presenting. Pardon the echo, folks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the echo is because we're in the same room for a moment here. One of us steps outside, and when he comes in and speaks, you can hear him from my headset as well. Sorry, folks. Anyway, I don't know. Like I said, there's no way for me to prove anything, but I do believe in every cell of my body that he is the Antichrist. But I know that it's more than just one man that has to be behind all this, because first of all, we, the country of the United States, are the military-industrial complex. England is the money center, and the Vatican is the religion center. Kind of like the Antichrist, what do you call that, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost?
The Trinity.
Yeah, the Trinity, that's the word I was looking for, thank you.
You're welcome. To deny that the world's potential is on a downward slope is folly. Now, I'm going to counter your religious questions, I suppose, with a simple basic principle in physics. And I'm going to present to you the law of entropy and suggest that beginning, entropy is the tendency of all things to decline, to aim for the greatest degree of disorder or chaos. Okay, and it's one of the reasons that I don't believe that Big Bang Theory or evolution are valid, is because by their very definition, we are in between the beginning, which would have been the greatest state of order of all matter and energy in the universe, which by them, they cannot define what it was. And most of them, most of the leading physicists who believe this will stop short of saying, wow, it was actually a supernatural event because it happened before all of the laws of nature, read laws of physics, ever existed according to their calculations. Now, here's the thing. All things tend toward the greatest degree of chaos throughout nature. Because of the way that matter and energy interact, what we perceive as the passage of time is actually the increase in entropy or chaos in the universe we inhabit. Now, I cannot say how far.
Before you go any further, Matt, it's time for the commercials. Can you hold that thought till after the commercial break?
Yeah, I've been holding this thought for a while.
All right, man, hang on. Get your head together. We're going to do a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, friends. When it comes to reaching your audience, the best approach is in person. If you have a band, business, or charity event, you want to reach people in the best ways and venues possible. If you're touring in the Midwest, you need DMI Promotions. Their friendly staff is ready, willing, and able to assist you in venue locations and event promotions to make your show or event successful. Contact Tori Webb at 515-865-4463 or toriwebbdmi@gmail.com. DMI Promotions, your Midwest promotional team and proud sponsor of Truth Emerges Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Breaking the Oath Breakers on NWO Truth Radio. My name is Ted Jotty. I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Paul Rogers. Are you with us, Paul?
I'm right with you, Ted. How you doing today, brother?
Ultimately interlinked with the most nefarious psychopaths on the planet.
I was a part of it. I've seen it firsthand, and that's why I got the hell out of the military. I'm a very staunch constitutionalist, and I believe that the founding document and the original intent is what made us great to begin with.
This is indeed a disturbing universe.
Yes, all I'm offering is the truth. On Unraveling the Matrix with me, your host, Austin Thomas. Yeah, we like to mess with the taboo stuff that you're not going to hear or see on the lamestream media. Now that you're awake, be aware. Be aware what's in play. CIA Mossad banking, money laundering, and international organized crime joint venture. Imagine that.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
Well, we know how these elections are all on the straight and narrow worldwide.
Unraveling the Matrix with Austin Thomas. Saturday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Truth Emerges Radio Network.
I'm hoping that they're listening to us here on Truth Emerges Network.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room.
You can see it when you look out your window, or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work.
When you go to church, when you pay your taxes, it is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
Yes, you have a right to do things that are very controversial. If not, you're going to end up with government that's going to tell us what we can eat and drink and whatever.
Well, hello, this is Liberty Lisa, and you are listening to The Truth Train.
We're on a mission from God.
I think
that if we actually follow the Constitution, you know, it would be a completely different world that we were living in.
Oh, yeah!
You know, I myself am fighting against, you know, the unconstitutional state laws here on foreclosure here in Colorado. How in the world could the Attorney General, the purported defender of the people, support an unconstitutional law?
I'm kidding myself that I've got to be with these fools.
If you're going to amend the Constitution and show a track record of at least upholding what's there in the first place, let's not go and talk about changing something that you really don't know about and haven't implemented yourself.
You went full retard, man. Never go full retard.
The Truth Train with Liberty Lisa. Tuesday nights, 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on Truth Emerges Radio.
Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm sitting in. This is Earl Conlon, the Dashboard Outlaw. I'm sitting in for Lee Pier, the Mouth, who is away on a personal family memorial for one of his family members. And keep Lee in your prayers, please, because it's been a little rough on him lately. But I hope I'm doing the man justice, because that guy has more intelligence in his earlobe than I have in my whole head. So I do the best I can do, and that's all I can do. But anyway, Matthew was making a point about the laws of physics relating to religion and politics and things like that. Matthew, did you want to finish that there thought?
Yeah, I will in a moment. I would like to, and I had meant to when you mentioned this last night, extend my condolences to Mr. Pierre. And I hope that he and his family are at peace. Aside from that, I apologize for how this show is going tonight. And I hope that you find it at least entertaining when you hear it back. As far as my personal theory about what's going on in the world being a direct result of the laws of physics, I've always held the belief that the greatest expression of chaos in the universe is in the realm of human interactions, because all matter and energy, and no physicist will be inclined to dispute this, operates within particular specified parameters, even on the quantum scale. They may not understand all those parameters yet, but everything except for human interactions is dictated by specified parameters in the laws of physics.
Everything is operating specifically under laws of physics, laws of nature, and laws of God. However, this government is trying to go against all those laws. I mean, hell, when they're trying to convince us that ISIS is not Islamic, that's absolute opposite to what common sense tells us. The name Islamic is in the name ISIS. So, yeah, laws of physics, but this government thinks that they are God.
And that comes from, if you want to be in the realm of scripture, that comes from, and you shall be as gods. When the serpent tempted Eve and said, eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and your eyes shall be opened, and you shall know, and you shall be as gods. All right? And that's, like I say, everybody wants to be right. So everybody who has attained to a position of authority throughout history has been seeking the ultimate of that promise. We talk much about the promises of God and Christ, but the enemy promised you'll be like gods if you understand good and evil. And there are, there are people who understand evil better than they do good. And
yeah,
many of them have achieved positions of authority, or at least assumed authority over people throughout the ages. Now, as far as the way the universe works, since the beginning, regardless of when you believe it happened, everything has been proceeding through what we perceive as time toward the greatest chaos. If we see around us increasing chaos beyond what history has showed us, then really we can understand it in the fact that that is what the universe is doing around us. I'm not getting zen on you, because it was designed to do this. Okay? I can't say with any certainty how close we are to the actualization of the most chaos, but obviously it is increasing in the world.
Right.
There's a degree to which I really, you know, pointing fingers at what the cause of the chaos is kind of, I don't know, fruitless, useless. Being prepared or aware that the only direction we have to go from here, and that's regardless of your faith, because no physicist will dispute that entropy is increasing in the universe, we are headed that way.
Yeah.
If you hold a faith that beyond the actualization of the ultimate expression of chaos, then yay, because you have a hope that beyond the dissipation of the world we know, the universe we know, then you can grasp onto, okay, gee, you know, there is this hope of continuing in a redemption, a salvation, an existence that exists beyond all the matter that we know, because, well, okay, you know, we can say that in the latter chapters of Revelation, it says that well, this world is going to pass away, and that all of the elements are going to melt in fervent heat, and then God will remake an Eden-like new earth.
Well, everything I see, you know, I'm not so savvy on all the stuff that you're talking about, but everything that I see, as far as government is concerned, yeah, they're trying to twist everything. I mean, good is bad and bad is good.
And so here's the thing. All right, if the powers that be, if those in positions of authority are trying to clamor for some realization of their innermost belief that you shall be as gods before the maximum entropy, which is designed into the universe, reaches its peak, then here's the thing. I can't help but feel that regardless of what we do, faithful or not, this entropy is going to increase, because it is a foundational principle of how the universe was designed. All right, and no matter how much you fight against it, it's going to happen.
Right, but you know, the absence of good, what's left behind is evil. Because there's no good there, and if you've got evil in the offices of government, and they're trying to distort what the good has designed. And then you got stupid people that buy into it. Before you know it, it gets rampant, especially when the good people are trying to be good and not hurt nobody, not fight anything, don't want to hurt anybody, kill anybody. But the problem is that the evil, you can't negotiate with it. You can't compromise with it. You have to destroy it, because if you don't, it will consume you. Let me finish my thought here. For the laws of physics, you throw something up in the air, it's going to come down. Well, if you've got evil trying to levitate that thing against the laws of gravity, eventually the gravity's got to win, because how are you going to – you can't beat the way it's supposed to be, but yet they want to impose this crap on us. But the good people don't want to do anything about it because they don't want to hurt nobody.
Am I
off the wall here or what?
I don't think you're understanding the gravity, pardon the pun, of what it is that I'm saying, Earl. I mean, I love you dearly, bro. You know that. But what I'm saying is that, yeah, all right, we from day to day, in whatever time remains before the matter and energy end up of our beings end up either, if you know, if it happens, if you believe in being translated to meet Jesus in the clouds, or if you believe that at some point shit's just going to fall apart. There is,
right,
as much as you might want to fight against the increasing disorder, okay, what you want me to say is that the increase in disorder, the tendency toward or away from order is toward evil, all right? If we say that the beginning was the greatest good and the end is the greatest evil, and we are inexorably proceeding toward the greatest evil, then as much as we are patriots and know that we're right, and that our rights are sacrosanct, we still exist in a universe that is designed to wind down to a point of greatest chaos, maximum evil, nothing that is good. And here's the thing: it was a lot of what the elite believe comes from the teaching that, sorry, give me a second here. Or
let me throw this in. Linda, she says that it's easier to suffer in silence than to stand up and fight back, and it's in the Constitution. Written that way, which I understand, people do want to take the easy road, whatever's easiest. They don't want to fight back. They want to just live their lives and not make waves. But there comes a point where the chaos reaches its point in human beings where they say they had enough. But unfortunately, in our time frame, it seems to be taken one hell of a lot to get people up off their ass to do something.
Okay, well, look
and
at
the
this.
Laws,
okay,
the laws
yes.
of physics can be there all they want. The physics is that when you've got a slope going down, you can't just go up without some sort of power. And it's chaos to climb back up the hill because your legs are burning. Well, we got to climb that hill. but nobody wants to do it because it's more easier just to keep rolling downhill.
Okay, here. All right. Let me put it this way. A lot of the commentary that I hear and see between the callers and the chat rooms on your show are by people who have a Christian faith. I'm saying that people who do not have any faith whatsoever can rest assured that there's a corollary between when God said it is very good and when Paul and John write about, like I said, although the elements melting in fervent heat and the world that is being swept away and there being a new world created. Yes, there's a corollary between that, and it is called the law of entropy. I suppose I'm trying to bring this beyond the faithful into the
what
realm.
What I think you're doing is that you're way more over intelligent than most people can comprehend, and I'm having a hard time following what you're talking about. All I know is that regardless of any of that stuff, the truth is we must fight. We must fight. We have to, because if we don't, we're all just going to be lined up and sent to slaughter.
You know, all right, and I'm not saying don't fight, Earl. I'm not saying that while or what time remains, whether it's until Jesus comes or until entropy prevails. Do what you know, people. Do as your conscience leads you. Do what you need to do to be secure in your beliefs that you are doing everything you can to bring or maintain or restore the life, the principles that you believe in. I'm saying that it doesn't matter, really, whether you are doing it from a Christian biblical perspective or you're and I'm trying to open this up because, like I say, people with highly educated atheist intellects aren't going to wrap their heads around a whole lot of the Christian scriptural basis because they don't believe it. I'm saying that they should because entropy is a fact that they believe in. The laws of physics and the tendency of the universe from order toward disorder is something that the atheist can wrap their noodle around.
Yep. Well, you know, as far as atheists is concerned, in my book, if they don't believe in God, then quit breathing his frickin' air. That's all I got to say about atheists.
You're entitled to that opinion. You're entitled to that opinion, but I can't help but believe if you want to broaden support for the restoration of this nation's founding principles, engaging more than the evangelical Christian community would not be a bad idea. And I'm trying to, I suppose, I don't know, I didn't set out to do this, we didn't script this show. It seems to me that trying to broaden this and put it in a realm that people who don't agree with Scripture can understand and maybe actually agree with and get them motivated too.
Well, you know, I understand what you're saying there, but, you know, And we can't please everybody. That's just impossible. I mean, right now, you and I are speaking, I believe in Jesus Christ, you believe in Jesus Christ, and we've got a young lady in the chat room. She probably reads the Torah because she's Jewish. But that's okay. She's entitled to her religion. We're entitled to our religion. It's not the point. Religion has nothing to do with it. The good, moral, honorable person has everything to do with it. So if you want to have rulers above you, such as senators, congressmen, presidents, you are just going to have to find good, honorable people. And if that person happens to be a Christian, and he lives by the way that Jesus Christ taught on the Sermon on the Mount, well, then we're at least doing better than somebody that thinks pedophile is a good idea, or somebody that thinks we ought to give up our sovereignty to one lording government. You know, that kind of shit's bullshit. We need good, honorable people, and we're not going to get those people in there one at a time, because if we put them in one at a time, the corrupt that are already there are going to go and show these people, well, no, that's not the way it's going to happen. I don't care if you were elected or not. Now that you are under me and I'm the senior senator, blah, 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 this is the way we do things. We're screwed. And I can prove that, because in 2012, when they had the elections and the Tea Party people cleaned up house, well, you never hear nothing about these people. Where are they? Why ain't they doing what they said that they wanted to do? It's because they got to D.C. and were stifled by the corrupt ones that are in there.
I alluded to that last night on your show, that, you know, simply being elected is, yay, congratulations, man. You managed to convince enough of the turnout of voters that you would be the one to look out for their interests should they decide to put you in office. And then when you arrived in office, you ended up becoming aware suddenly that all of the good principled ideals that you presented are of no avail because of the way the system has come to work. Okay? It's, you know, why does it take 2 months, 2.5, between the election and when the president takes the oath of office? Because he's got to be read into all the shit that he didn't know while he was running for office. During which time he's going to discover that, hell, I don't work for the American people. I work for the corporate interests who are trying to steer this to their own profit and benefit.
Right.
Again.
Right.
Again,
they get all the multi-million dollar donors, and now he has to return the favor now that he's in the office. But
and yet the founding fathers foresaw principled men of high moral character doing the best that they possibly could to look out for the interests of the people they represented. However,
let me cut in here. Hang on a minute, Matt. First of all, the founders, when they designed our Constitution, they had it in mind with good, moral, God-fearing men in office. Now, the thing is, what we got today in our offices, the Constitution don't mean crap to them. The Declaration of Independence means nothing to them. They're going to do things as they see fit, regardless of those laws. So we've got people in office that treat our Constitution the same as a criminal treats gun laws. They don't mean nothing. A criminal doesn't care about no gun laws.
And if you don't see the corollary between the high ideal of an ordered society of moral relevance that the founders foresaw and the current reality of well, the current reality, as being a reflection of both the prophetic indications through Scripture that society would decline over time, as well as the fact that the universe we inhabit is designed to move toward decay, then I don't know if I can say that any plainer, Earl. If I hate to be the voice of hopelessness, because we obviously still have some time. I mean, we don't see the Big Bang echoing back to us because it has reached the end of the universe. I won't go into that right now. That's a little theory I have.
Yeah. I think we were losing our audience on the physics part. So, stick to the principle stuff.
That's a principle. Principles are something on which another thing is something on which we are founded morally or really, actually. If it is a principle in physics that the universe is going to decay toward either the least order or the greatest evil, then where's the dispute?
Right, well, let's change this to perception, because in my opinion, perception is everything. People, how they perceive things makes the biggest difference in the world, as far as I'm concerned. If everybody that does not like what's going on in this country and with this government perceives it as, well, they got to do what they're told because the guy's wearing a badge or he's wearing a black robe or he's in a high office in a fancy suit, so therefore they're the lords and masters and we have to do what they tell them. If they perceive it that way, then they're going to behave that way. But if they look at these people wearing the fancy suits and the black robes and the badges, so whoa, pal, I'm the boss. You work for me. But that's the problem. They don't do that. They don't look at it that way. They look at it like it's better to just shut up and not make waves.
Well, it can be more a matter of self-preservation for whatever reason, that if I don't talk back to this officer with an attitude, he probably won't arrest me and haul me off, justifiably or not. You know, as a matter of fact,
yeah.
If you get in a cop's face and you weren't doing anything wrong in the first place, if you go ahead and, treat him as you would have him treat you, then maybe he'll say, all right, just keep it under 55 and let you go.
Now you're talking attitude. I'm talking perception.
The perception is that, all right, if somebody says, hell, I got mine, all right, I'm going to be as a god, I have a badge on, so I'm going to be, I'm going to exercise the full extent of my you shall be as god promise that was given to me near the creation by the devil, and he's in a bad attitude, then the last thing you need to give him is a bad attitude, because he's going to come down. He's going to act on that promise from the devil.
There's a time and place. There's a time and place for everything. And when you're standing there alone with some cop, you're not going to get in his face and act like an asshole and all that stuff. But when I say perception, let's say, for example, people started saying, no, I'm going to take back our power. I am not going to let this bullshit happen anymore. So let's say the town decided, okay, pulled you over for whatever reason. 20 citizens pulled over with you, and they just stood there. And cops like looking at all 20 of these people and you, and the cops going, what the hell, get back in your cars. And no, no, sir, we are going to stand here and make sure you're obeying the Constitution. And if you step outside that Constitution, we are going to arrest you. Well, that cop is going to, first of all, he's going to whine like a little bitch and call his girlfriends to come help him out because he's got all these
backup.
People
yeah.
surrounding him. Right. Well, every time a cop shows up, one in 20 more should pull over until these cops get the point that we, the people, are not going to take this bullshit no more. You want to do your job, you do it, but you make sure you stay within the boundaries of that Constitution. If you do that, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You step outside of it, we're going to put you in your own fucking handcuffs. But, you know, we can't get nobody to do that kind of stuff because people perceive as, oh, no, 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 I can't do that. That's a losing battle. It is not a losing battle. All it needs is the people to stand together.
And, yeah, increasing the base of people who are willing to acknowledge that it doesn't matter what you believe personally or what you perceive to be the foundation of these principles, but I see that these principles are ubiquitous and apply to me as well, I will stand with you. So that it's not just the people with the little fishes or the crosses on their cars pulling over, but the ones with the little fishes that are eating the fish or the fish with the legs that are eating the fish are going, oh, look, wait a minute, I see an injustice occurring to a fellow individual, so I'm going to stop and join with them, even though we have differences of opinion. About.
Yes, yes, I agree with that. I agree with that. You don't have to be Christian to stand for justice. You don't have to be Jewish to stand with a Christian man that may be getting the raw end of the deal from some cop that wants to beat him up. And all these videos that I watch on YouTube and on Facebook where some cop is beating up this girl or some guy, and what are the people doing? They're standing around with their cell phones taking video. Help the person. Do something.
Well, you talked about perception, so let's look at that. All right, there's a perception by the people standing away, not getting involved directly, and taking the video that, gee, maybe at some point having this video available will be helpful as due process proceeds.
Well,
the
yeah,
perception.
Yeah, but if you've got 50 people standing there videotaping a cop beating up some woman, how many of those 50 people do you think are going to actually show up in court and say, hey, I saw the whole thing, I got it right here on video?
If they submit the video to the defense attorneys, then they don't have to show up. The video should speak for itself. The individual, if you have it on video, if there is photographic evidence or video evidence of
yes, I got
a,
it.
Then the person who took it shouldn't necessarily be opening themselves up to reprisal from the authorities for having taken the video. Because the video itself
yeah, but they got video.
Was the evidence.
They got video of the New Mexico cops shooting a homeless man in his back. And did he go to jail for it? No. He got paid vacation is what he got. They got videotaping a cop beating this guy up and choking him. What did he get? Did he get put in jail for what he did? No. He got paid vacation. Every one of these cops have been getting caught doing these things by people videotaping them, and they submitted the video for evidence against the cop. Their corrupt chief of police's or sergeants or whatever, oh, no, he acted within his means. He just shot my fucking dog. What do you mean he did that? You know, he's getting away with it. It's like bullshit. No. We're down to 10 minutes into the show here, though, buddy.
Golly. Should I really be surprised that nobody's wanting to throw in on this? I'm sorry. I'll apologize to whatever listeners are out there, and again to Lee Pierre for our Earls in my spirited debate. We do this at home all the time. We will agree to disagree and present right. our right. perceptions, as Earl put well, about what we see happening around us. Now, as yep. far as what a jury engaged in, you know, in the course of due process arrives at, that's kind of a different issue. It's if the video was presented, you're speaking about cases of which I have no knowledge of any other evidence presented. Okay, you know, let's look at Ferguson real quick. I'll try and be, you know, here's the thing. If the video or the security tapes of the convenience store of the kid coming in, being belligerent, being, you know, a foot and a half taller than the store guy weren't released, then it would probably be a more cut-and-dried issue of this cop just blew the kid away in the streets. However, that is for if you don't like how the system works, and I don't want to say it, Earl.
Yeah, I got you, man. I got you. But, you know, for tonight's show, we did do the best we could off the top of our heads. The only thing I got to be honest is that I'm a little disappointed. I have over 714 people invited to this show tonight. 29 of them said that they were coming. 2 of them said maybe. And 3 people showed up in the phone room, and 3 people
hey,
showed
man,
up
it's
in the chat room. And I'm like, what
Monday
the hell,
night?
Man?
People got to work, and it's the first night of Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, is that what it is? Is that what we're doing? We're dealing with Dancing with the Farts? What
with
the hell
farts.
You call them?
I'm sorry. I have no idea. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they knew that Lee wouldn't be here. All right, you know, maybe they knew that Lee wouldn't be here, so that there would not be the same well-considered, thought-out, well-researched presentation of issues and realities that Mr. Pierre, I presume, tends to present during his airtime. I don't know. I'm coming to the dance late, man.
Mr. Pierre is a very charismatic speaker. He's got a big voice, and I never thought I would ever fill that man's shoes, but let me tell you what.
Oh, well, I had meant to present all of my arguments in a very well-resounding announcer's voice. Sorry, I had to throw that in.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway.
You know, and honestly, you know, I asked you earlier, you know, what are we doing? You said we're going to play by ear, we're going to take some callers. So, well, nobody called. Ought to teach you folks,
yep.
if you're there.
Well,
we
had a few callers that were sitting there listening, but they didn't have their hand up.
Oh, okay, all right. So they were just dialing in to hear the thing on the phone or on their Bluetooth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, I hope they carried something away from this exchange, bro. You know, I really do. The exchange of ideas is a great influence, I think, in getting people to change their thought process and engage in what is going on.
But we have to. We absolutely have to engage, because if we do nothing, then the victims that die or are injured because of it, that blood is on our hands. Evil flourishes when good men do nothing.
And all I can do is present ideas. Okay, I mean, I'm not in a position to do much personally, actively, physically, or financially. So if you know, that's why I guess that's why I steered away into a severe tangent. To try and expand or bring hopefully a new element of thought into what we see going on around us.
Well, yep. See, you know, I don't know. Like I said, perception is everything, and what people seem to perceive is that their lives more important than anybody else's. And I hate to say this, but it seems that it's more important to them than their own children, where if they do something now and they're the ones that get into the fight, get hurt, get killed, that's better than passing the fight on to your children and letting your children deal with it. I think people need to do what they need to do. I'm sitting here watching this story that Rosalind Bess in the chat room is talking about, where she and her son went out to dinner and they saw something going on, and she locked her kid in the car and got out to confront the guy that was doing the attacking. That's the kind of courage we need all over this country. We need people to actually stand up and take that chance of getting hurt or killed for the sake of good. Not because of anger, hate, revenge, any of those things. We don't want no part of that. You want to act on those, you're on your own, pal. But if you're doing it for justice, for freedom, I would get out of that car and help you. It's simple as that. We're at the end of the show, Matt. Do you have anything to add before the end of what we call the night?
Well, I'd like to draw a line between perception and conception, and that's that, okay, to presume that somebody's perception is that they're failing to perceive what's going on around them, it gets around to the point of taking on the mantle of Jesus and knowing what's in their heart. Now, if the intent is to try and alter their conception of what they might be able to do or what they could do if they got out of whatever their daily personal perception, because perceptions are personal. They're based on life experience, beliefs that they've been taught. If they can change their conception of what could be, then things can change.
Absolutely right. We have to figure out how to change people's perception, because it's kind of like leaving a kid get away with whatever he wants to get away with, and he grows up to be a monster because he got away with whatever he wanted, because you wanted to be a good mommy and daddy and just be nice to the kid and be his friend. He don't need a friend. He needs a parent. And he needs his ass whooped now so that when he grows up, he isn't a monster. But anyhow, we're down.
Discipline, not abuse.
And I wanted to say thank everybody for coming to the show. Thanks, Rosalind.
Well.
Appreciate you showing up. And Matthew, have anything to say before I call tonight?
I agree. Thank you all who have tuned in, listened, logged on. what have you. Hopefully Lee will be back next week and you won't have to listen to us.
Yep, yep. Maybe next week we'll have our act together, and if we fill in for somebody else's show, let's hope we got our act together a little bit better. But this was on the fly, and it was totally off top of our head. So God bless, and thank you for showing up. Good night,
again,
y'all.
Ergo, wasn't an act. Good night.